This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Get that bib ready. We're feeding you some more football. NFL Lunch style. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. John Harbaugh still waiting for him. Going to meet with the media within the hour. Hopefully within the next couple of minutes. And whatever we get, we'll share it with you. If we don't have it today, we'll certainly get it for you tomorrow. But after yesterday's win, 30-23, Ravens over the Commanders, Rashad Bateman spoke. And Rashad Bateman's a guy some would call a bust his first few years in this organization. Ravens reworked his deal, didn't pick up his option. There was some, what was the deal he didn't understand because he didn't show up, and there were some contract issues where he wasn't eligible for something he thought he was going to be entitled to entering this status of his career. But either way, Rashad Bateman, when's he going to be part of the fun? Well, he's part of the fun this year, and as he talked about, that hard work, man, starting to pay off for me.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, the Raptor right now, I'm just hungry for more. I'm thankful and blessed to be out there, but I've never been moving as well, playing as well, and happy and blessed, and, you know, I'm excited for more to come. You know, always staying hungry right now.
Yeah, he had five targets, and he is now a legitimate, active member, you know, where they look to throw him the ball, and they look to get him the ball at crunch time and stuff. So, yeah, he said he's feeling great. He looks good. He's running really good routes. He's a happy camper. And you know what? The body language, Bob, is outstanding. Last year we saw some pouting and stuff. Not this year. He caught back-to-back plays, you know, and he's screaming and excited. So, yeah, I think we see a different Bateman.
Second on the team in targets this year behind Zay Flowers, 17 catches, averaging 16.1 per reception. And of his 17 catches, 14 have been for first downs.
Yeah. They like to go to him on third downs and stuff because why? He can separate. And a lot of times on third down, you're getting man coverage and stuff, and he can get open. And he's shown that.
Now, Bateman, he's benefiting from Lamar Jackson, you know, being a guy that completes 67% of his passes, 10 of them for touchdowns, 2 to Bateman himself. And here's Rashad Bateman talking about Lamar Jackson and what he's seeing from him during this recent hot streak where his quarterback rating's been well over 100.
It's the 8-ball, man. You got to roll the dice. A lot of people can say what they want to say, but, I mean, it speaks for itself, man. I don't know what else I want the guy to do. So, I'm excited to see him play this week.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him play this week too. Because like, what else is coming? What's next? Because he's playing smart. He's running smartly, and you know, like he's not turning the ball over, and they're winning games now. So, yeah, I can't wait for next Monday to watch what Lamar's going to do.
And by the way, we'll cross this bridge when we get to it. The only thing that he needs to do that he hasn't done is, you know, get to a Super Bowl. That's it.
Yeah. Because if he stays healthy for the rest of this year, Bob, he's going to be right there. He's going to either be the MVP or real close to it.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. But as Jason Cole said, well, let's hand out candy for Halloween first, then we'll start worrying about who the MVP of the league is. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is NFL Lunch. Mark Andrews, he scored his first touchdown, it seemed like forever. But as Mark Andrews said, hey, we're getting better and better, man. Keep them games coming.
It's good, you know, and we can always get better and work, and but I think that we're extremely versatile in what we're doing, and we're going to take this game, get better from it, just like week by week, and become the machine that we can be.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like himself yesterday, I thought. Running routes, creating separation, went up and caught that high ball, and, you know, running after the catch, and that's going to help him. I mean, we talked about how making the 56-yard field goal helped Tucker's confidence. This game is going to really affect Mark Andrews' confidence.
Going into last week's game against Cincinnati, Andrews had 9 targets for the season.
Yeah.
He's had 9 targets in the last 2 weeks.
Well, like
with 7 catches and a touchdown.
Like he said, it's never taken me this long to get a touchdown before.
Well, he got it, and that's all that matters. It's a switch to the other side of the football, the Washington side at that. As the Commanders' 4-game winning streak came to an end at M&T Bank Stadium, head coach Dan Quinn talks about his rookie quarterback's performance against that Ravens defense.
Yeah, I thought, like I said, going into the end, you know, we thought we had some chances to hit some earlier, and we didn't. On some of the third downs, I thought, you know, we were able to convert some, and the fourth downs as well. But by and large, not having enough completions and runs was a real factor. And same thing when you don't play complementary football, of getting enough third down stops, you don't get enough shots at it. And so coming in, we knew we'd have to steal some possessions. So to get the first turnover, I thought was a big deal.
That was a big deal for them because the Ravens were getting ready to score.
Yeah, they hadn't thrown a pick.
Yeah.
Or they hadn't gotten an interception all year long until that one.
And I don't know. I mean, if that was me and I was talking about Jaden Daniels, I might have been a little more positive than that. You know, without him, they don't have a sniff of being close in that game.
Here's Jaden Daniels talking about the Ravens' defensive scheme yesterday.
Yeah, I believe so. And try to limit explosive plays and keep me within the pocket and stuff like that. Keep eyes on me. That's kind of how they were playing. To that point, man, kudos to them. You know, they pulled out the win.
Yeah, you know, like Jaden said, they tried to keep him in the pocket, and they did. They did a hell of a job. And that's a big part of their game, the ad-lib game. Him making plays down the field and creating on the move is big in their offense, and they weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, average 7.7 per completion. Did throw for 2 touchdowns. Lamar, for instance, averaged 12.4 yards per completion. So the bigger plays seem to be, at least for the Sunday, on Baltimore's side. Jay Daniels, of course, you got to probe. So what you learn from the loss?
You're going to play these type of games. Super Bowl contender team. Obviously, they were in the AFC Championship game last year. They got great players all around the field. But it's very promising that we're able to be in this type of game. But moving forward, man, it's not going to get any easier. So we're going to have to go back and watch the film and execute higher, and, you know, hopefully on some games coming forward on the other end of that.
Well, next week they got Carolina, Bob.
It's always a get right game, I guess. But still, he didn't look overwhelmed by the moment.
None whatsoever. He looked calm, cool. He actually made some spectacular throws. And yeah, if you didn't know anything and you flipped the film on and watched that game and you said that was rookie, no, it didn't.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, go outside of our Ravens bubble, and look at what happened with Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, the AFC North. Then we'll look at our picks. How'd we do? I mean, me and Vinny did all right. NFL, college. I don't know. I don't know about Nolan. We'll find out together here at 1:30.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone.
Browns.
Tossed down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman.
Toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
It might not be the toughest division as we sit here on October the 14th, but the potential for improvement is there, we think. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Notes from the North. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. One team that's been in struggle mode for pretty much the entirety of the season has been the Cleveland Browns. Yesterday, they were in Philadelphia, and the Cleveland woes continue.
Hurts again in the gun. He's back. He's looking. He fires wide open. Smith, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Devontae Smith.
Hello.
Eagles radio on the call. Jalen Hurts, two TDs. You heard that one. Devontae Smith. A.J. Brown had one himself. He's back. Six catches for 116 yards. 20-16 was the final score. Cleveland has now lost four consecutive games.
Yeah, they're just a bad football team right now, and they can't convert on third down. The quarterback doesn't make any plays for him. He gets sacked a lot. And you know, the defense can only hold up so long.
And Deshaun Watson, you know, as Jason Cole said, all right, he was 11 for 11 in the second half. Big whoop. They can't put points on the board, can't run the ball. Ford, who I guess is their de facto best runner, he got hurt yesterday. But the big story, I guess, coming out of Philly, wasn't the fact that Cleveland stinks. The fact that Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles, was jawing with the fans. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a no-win situation for the head coach.
Yeah, the home fans, he's yeah, and you're winning. And in Philadelphia, there would be no way in hell I would do that in Philadelphia. The fans don't like him, and they're going to look at anything they can. And, Bob, when you saw him do his press conference after the game, brings his kids up there so he can't be asked a lot of questions about that kind of stuff.
Look, this is a fan base that booed Mike Schmidt and booed Dr. J.
Yeah.
Santa Claus, of all people, they got no problem lambasting on Nick Sirianni, who, by the way, did take him to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they were 11-1 at one point last season, but things have kind of imploded for them. But they're still, if you talk about a team that is formidable, maybe, they're healthy. I mean, Barkley didn't have the greatest game yesterday. They had a hard time running the football. But Jalen Hurts tightens up them fumbles. They got the receivers back. Goddard, I believe, got KO'd in yesterday's game.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, it's still a team that you should be reckoned with, I would assume, in the final couple months of the season.
We'll see. I mean, because there seems to be something wrong there, Bob, because they're kind of hit or miss lately. But coming out of a bye, they did, you know, show a little worth there.
Unlike what happened down in College Park.
Yes, that's what
you're saying.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying.
Out in Las Vegas, Steelers taking on the Raiders. It was Justin Fields getting the start and, you know, did some good stuff, I guess.
40 seconds to go, first half. Fake it. Fields running for the touchdown. Fields takes it in for the score.
Justin Fields, two rushing touchdowns yesterday. That was CBS on the call. How about Najee Harris? Maybe a bigger thing to keep an eye on if you're a Steelers fan or the rest of the North. 14 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. His best game in quite some time. And showing some burst as he was sniffing that goal line.
Yeah, he must have been feeling good. You know, I mean, he's a guy that can do that. And especially their offensive line has not been playing that good. So, yeah, that's a... What's the matter with the Raiders, Bob, since they beat the Ravens? You know, I mean... That was their Super Bowl, I guess, because they're not very good right now.
Yeah, Minshew got benched for Aiden O'Connell. He didn't do much of anything. 32-13 final score. Steelers break a two-game losing skid there. And then last night, if you missed it, at the Meadowlands, Joe Burrow, known for his arm, how about showing off some juice with them legs yesterday?
Joe taking off. Oh, he's got a ton of room. Might take it all the way. Inside the 10.
NBC Mike Tirico on the call. Joe Burrow rushing for a touchdown. Trey Hendrickson had two sacks as Cincinnati. They beat the Giants 17-7 for some turnovers there from Daniel Jones. it wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing football game you're ever going to want to see, but it was a win nonetheless. Cincinnati picks up that elusive second victory of the season, now 2-4 on the year. But I was watching NFL Network this morning, a replay of the Chris Rose, Steve Smith's show. Steve Smith Sr., former Raven, of course. And Steve Smith thinks that Burrow's wrist is still bothering him. And I'm looking back at last Sunday against the Ravens, and he looked pretty fine throwing 5 touchdown passes against that secondary.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And they had to have been happy that their defense played a little better this past week, Bob. But, I mean, they're at the Browns, which should be a win for them. Then they got the Eagles at home, and then they got the Raiders at home. So, I mean, they got a chance to maybe put some together here.
So Cincinnati, Baltimore probably vying for supremacy, but we always forget about the Steelers. And you look after 14 weeks, there they are, sniffing the division title, sniffing playoff stuff. Question is, Russell Wilson, does he eventually take over? I mean, you're 4-2 with Justin Fields. I'm guessing he's popular to some extent in that locker room with his teammates.
No doubt. And, Bob, it's just same situation as the Ravens' offensive line. You're winning. You know, why would you change? And I think you're sitting 4-2, and you got the Jets at home next Sunday night. I'm not changing up right now.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, look at our picks for this past weekend, college and pro. And we'll look at the schedule for week 7 in the NFL. So stay tuned for that fun-ass trip. Nolan McGraw, John Harbaugh meeting with the media as we speak. So we'll get a couple Harbsies in for you as well. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan here on The Fan.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's get booze into the equation here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass every Friday. We do picks, college and pro. Beer for me and Nolan. Mick Ultra over here for the Bobster. Nolan likes that Yingling coming his way, especially if it's free. Vino for Vinny. We'll start with college. We did 5 games, starting with Friday's tussle, as heard on 105.7 The Fan, Northwestern against Maryland.
Right, and we were all still believers at the time. I don't know where that stands now, but as of last Friday, still believers in Maryland. We all took an L.
Harsh L, too.
Oh, yeah.
Bitter-tasting L. Ugh. Texas, Oklahoma, Red River rivalry at the old, the original Cotton Bowl, I guess. Number 1 against number 18. This was Puffy Pants, Quinn Ewers returned to the equation, and a little rust early, but things got out of hand eventually.
All 3 of us on the Longhorns here. I believe one of you two even predicted Puffy Pants. I could be mistaken on that, but
I'll take it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know go about ahead. It, but I'll go ahead.
No bonus points for that, but we all get the W on that one.
Yeah, 34-3. That was out of control. Out west, Penn State number 4 at USC. This is usually a Rose Bowl-level matchup. Now in the same conference because of the greed of college football and the conferences, but that's another story altogether. Penn State, they get the win. Wasn't easy, but a win nonetheless.
You guys took Penn State here. I still can't pick Penn State for some reason. I don't like picking them, and it keeps costing me.
33-30 in overtime. The Nittany Lions get the win there. Ohio State at Oregon in the game of the day. Number 2 versus number 3. And Nolan lived up to the hype.
It did. Split opinions on this one as well. Bob and myself riding with the Ducks. Vinny took the Buckeyes.
Yeah. If the Buckeyes quarterback slides 2 yards earlier, they kick a field goal and win.
Yeah, they have an opportunity for sure. But nope, not to be. That was a 1-point game, 32-31. Both schools are going to be playoff teams. We'll just try figure out what the... And we talked about it earlier, buy or sell. They might even play each other again in the Big Ten championship game. Ole Miss at LSU, number 9 versus number 13, and yet another overtime extravaganza, Nolan McGraw.
Well, here you go, Bob. You had your crystal ball. Ooh. LSU was the pick for Bob, Ole Miss for Vinny and myself.
So I'm a strong 4-1 here with the collegiate games.
I was 2-3.
Not bad at all. I'm struggling. That's all I can say. Struggling.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Nolan McGraw, let's get to the National Football League. And boy, if you're a fan of Jacksonville or you picked them, you hated this result. Jacksonville Bears, London, England. This was a no-contest game in favor of Chicago as they blow these boys off the field 35-16.
Vinny took the Bears in this one, although he tricked me in his explanation. Started talking about how Jacksonville, it's practically home away from home in London. And I said, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot that. I switched my pick at the time. I didn't tell anyone I had the Bears written down. Locked in the Jaguars. Big mistake. Huge mistake. Bob, you took Jacksonville as well.
Yeah, because I figured they were coming off a win, and they probably could stat two together. I was wrong. Arizona at Green Bay, 34-13 Packers.
We all took the pack in this one. Boy, Jordan Love makes the difference there. I mean, they won without him, but now that he's back, he's feeling comfortable. You see what their ceiling is on offense.
And guess who scored two touchdowns yesterday?
Ah,
Romeo Doll.
The squeaky wheel.
I guess that holding up benefited him in the long run
so
after all.
Good game, bad game. Arizona was the bad game.
And they're starting to stack a little more bad ones here as of late. Colts 20-17 over the Titans.
All right, here's my victory lap. Fighting Flacco's. Let's go. I took the Colts. You guys had the Titans.
Yeah, and then I told you Sunday when it was announced Richardson was going to be inactive and Flacco was starting. I said, Norm, I'd love to change my vote.
And by the way, what's going on with the Colts injury report all week? Richardson's going to play. He's going to play. He's going to play. Then he ends up not playing. Michael Pittman.
Going to be out for weeks.
Right. It was going to be out for weeks. Then he's playing.
Catches a touchdown pass.
Well, maybe they had some communication issues rolling with that thing. Houston at New England. Drake May made his first start through three touchdowns, but the turnover thing kind of got to him as well. 41-21 in that one in favor of Texans.
This was an easy selection for all of us with the Texans.
Buccaneers at New Orleans. Blowout City, 41-27 in favor of Tampa.
Yeah, not as good of a debut for Rattler, and we all had the Bucs.
And Baker Mayfield threw four more touchdowns. Three picks, though.
Yeah.
Kid Tucker rushed for 125 yards as well. We just talked about this Philly 2016 over Cleveland.
Yep. We all took the Eagles.
Chargers against the Broncos, 23-16 L.A. at Denver.
A lot of unison picks for us here. Everyone on the Chargers.
Yeah, a lot of road favorites in week six. Yeah. J.K. Dobbins, another touchdown, 90-plus yards rushing there. Talked about the Steelers, 32-13 over the Raiders.
Everyone was on the Steelers in that one.
Detroit, 47-9 over Dallas.
Well, here's my embarrassment. Maybe of the season, taking the Cowboys in this one. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't even have a good reason for it. I just took it just to take it.
Especially Cowboys at home, who'd been 0-2 and 3-0 on the road.
Well, expect them to get blown out like that. Or all these trick plays and hook and ladder to an offensive lineman and all that. So... you guys had the Lions, though.
Speaking of MVPs, Jared Goff deserves a little consideration here. He had three touchdown passes yesterday. They do, Detroit, unfortunately, lose Aiden Hutchinson, who's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah, that was, and he had surgery last night already, Bob. So, so he's going to be out for the year. So, yeah, that hurts when your best player on defense is gone for the year and he's the guy that gets pressure on, your only guy that gets pressure on the quarterback.
Atlanta at Carolina, blowout here, 38-20 in favor of the Falcons.
Right, feels easy to pick against the Panthers every week, and we all did that.
How about Bijan Robinson finally getting in the stat sheet a little bit there, huh?
Fantasy owners are happy.
Two touchdowns. Finally, Cincinnati, talked about this one as well, 17-7 Bengals over the Giants.
Well, we knew it was a must-win game, even if the Bengals like to make things closer than necessary. We all were going with Cincinnati in that one.
All right. And then the Ravens and the Washington Commanders. I thought the Ravens were going to blow them out. They didn't, but they still won. I guess that's all that matters.
Yep. Everyone had the Ravens. Scores for those who missed it. Bob had 37-13 Ravens. Vinny 34-14. And I had 33-20.
All right. You were pretty close there, Norm.
As we head into, Nolan, tonight's game, what are our updated standings?
So on the week, everyone actually did okay overall. Bob was 14-3, Vinny 13-4, I was 12-5. Updated on the season, Bob back in front, 77-45, Vinny a game back at 76-46, and here I am dead last, 69-53.
But plenty of time to make up that ground. Nolan McGraw, 8:15 tonight at the Meadowlands MetLife Stadium. Buffalo, Jets, Bills 1-point favorites. Vinny, who you have?
I'm taking the Jets. I'm riding with the Jets. They're going to run the football. They got a new offensive coordinator calling plays. And the defense has always been good. Josh Allen coming off of what, a 9-for-30 passing last week on the road Monday night. I'm taking the Jets.
This does kind of have that feel to it, like, you know, hey, they just fired their head coach. They should just completely implode here. The wheels will fall off. And it feels like, oh, go figure, they'll go out there and win. Almost kind of like their opener last year. Rodgers gets hurt. They still ended up winning that game. People forget against...
It's a walk-off punt return.
And that was against the Bills, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
A nice quality win at home. Even still, I got to make up ground here. I can't pick against the Bills. I'll take Josh Allen, the better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going with Buffalo, too. He's had two crap games back-to-back. Studs don't do that sort of thing. So I think Josh Allen gets back on the horse with a dominant performance, and Buffalo remains in first place in the AFC's Eastern Division. When we come back, we're going to hear from John Harbaugh. Just got done talking to the media out at one winning drive. A couple of cuts from Harbsy there. Then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. And Lonzo Ball, 2 years after Bob Haney put the ultimate schlep rock on him, expected to make his return to the hardwood Wednesday night for doubles throughout the course of the week. But John Harbaugh did meet with the media within the hour talking about various things relating to yesterday's win and beyond. Like Ben Cleveland. Hey, we brought this up earlier. He blocked a field goal. Harbsy, how'd that come about?
I'm going to take some credit like for Chris. Like, I've been suggesting that for a while now, just to be honest with you. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's a big man. But he came to Chris. I think he was on there for 2 weeks now. He came to Chris and said, hey, I want to do it. And, you know, when a guy wants to do something like that and wants to take the time to do it and double down on what he's doing and help the team, man, you're fired up about that. So he got a game ball in the locker room yesterday for his first ever field goal block. I mean, it's a 3-point difference in the game. That was big in that game. So you never know what plays are going to make the difference. But that was awesome to see. And you got Ben in there, Herb in there. Travis is in there. All those guys do a great job. So that's a factor for us.
Well, he's like 6'7". I mean, he is a huge man, and he's got 33 or 34 inch arms. So his reach is long. He can't jump very high, but you know, he got his finger on it, which was an important play in that game to take away 3 points from him.
Yeah, made a play, helped the cause. Ben Cleveland, the guy we normally don't talk about helping the cause. We're more like, you know, this guy's kind of a bust. He's third-round pick, doesn't play, but helped out yesterday. Now, Nate Wiggins, first-round pick out of Clemson. All right, John, 6 games in. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, Nate steadily gets better and better. And you saw him make some really good plays out there, some big plays out there. And then there's other plays that, you know, he wants to do better at. And he's young. I mean, they go after him because he's young like they would anybody, you know. But he's held his own really well. I think he's only going to continue to improve because he's got the right mindset for it. And I'm excited about the upside in a big way. And you saw him play a lot as a result.
Yeah. Well, the plays, Bob, I hate to say it, but the plays I remember they weren't good plays. You know, the PI and the third down one that they didn't call a PI could have been a PI on that one, too. And then another time he was supposed to be covering Ertz across the middle. And he didn't. I mean, those are the three plays that stand out to me. Oh, he did make a nice play. He did make a nice tackle the one time. And then critical time right before the half, he missed that tackle to allow the guy to get the first down and get out of bounds and get them in field goal range. So, yeah, he's a gambler, confident, extremely confident guy. I mean, Bob, you saw it after the PI. I mean, it was obvious PI. He run down to the stairs. Hey, I just made a great play. Oh, man.
Hey, own it. You can get away with it. Do what you got to do. Yannick Ngakoue got his first sack back as a Raven, former Terp. Here's John Harbaugh talking about his veteran pass rusher there.
Yeah, it's really cool. Maryland guy, you know, Ravens fan his whole life. Got to know him in the draft coming out a little bit, you know, and then kind of stayed. You know, you kind of bump into guys. And when he came last time, you know, really got to know each other. And he and I, we hit it off, you know, stayed in touch all the way through. But the biggest thing is he tells me every time I see him. You know, every time I see him, he tells me, you know, how excited he is to be here and how he's got our backs and everything like that. And I see it in the way he's practicing, the way he's playing. He played tremendously well, which was not a surprise because we saw him practice that way. So big addition to our team. Very excited the way he's rolling.
Well, yeah, he only played 13 snaps, and he had a sack in that 13, and then he had a couple other real nice rushes. So I would anticipate his reps going up this week. You know, I'd like to see him around 25.
as Ajabo's decrease.
His is, yes, he and Tavius Robinson have decreased. Yes, they are not getting that many. Because Ajabo's not, you know, I mean, he's not beating anybody. And he went against Ertz, and Ertz kind of ate him up. And I'm like, come on, you go against a tight end, you got to wear that dude out.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Inside Access is coming up here in a matter of minutes. Don't forget, Monday Night Football coming up later on this evening on The Fan. Buffalo at the Jets, first place on the line in the AFC East. Nolan, any closing thoughts for our loyal listeners?
No, the loyal listeners have spoken. They have spoken. Well, their thoughts coming.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness, Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Vic in Bel Air, who says some people actually thought the team from Landover was going to come up to Charm City and win. Look at their season. Their two losses are versus two division leaders. Their four wins against sub-500 teams. They beat up on the week.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is not good enough, you know, to go far if they make the playoffs. It's not going to be good enough. And then they got the quarterback. I mean, that's what they've got. I mean, and they got a quarterback and they've got a receiver. And he's making a lot of plays for them.
Another texter here, a little more optimistic on Nate Wiggins, says, I think Wiggins is going to be a monster. He plays physical. He has the speed. Not afraid to tackle either. Only a few games in. Ceiling is high.
Oh, there's no doubt the ceiling's high. And he can run 4-2. So he just got to learn. Because in college, he was grabby guy all the time. And I'm like, you know, he'd be running, watching film at Clemson, and he'd always want to grab the guy's jersey. Come on, that dude probably runs 4.6. You run 4.2. Why you got to grab his jersey and catch up to him?
Only thing I don't get with Nate Wiggins is the mouth guard stuff. Every week he's wearing two different colored mouth guards, neither one in his mouth. Maybe at 28 years old, I'm the curmudgeon, I'm the old man, but some of the stuff these young athletes are doing, I don't know.
Wow. Well,
it doesn't make
Nolan
sense.
Nolan talking about people as like young whippersnappers. Maybe it's like a good luck thing or something.
It's all aesthetic. It's clearly not for use.
Well, that's like Kachuk for Florida Panthers. He chews on it the whole time. He never in his mouth. He's always chomping on it, you know, as it sticks out.
At least it's partially in there.
Right. Yeah, Nates are there just for, you know, show purposes. I don't.
More on the secondary, this texter says, Brandon Stevens giving up these tight window catches is almost comical at this point. How do you always get beat in the end, no matter how close coverage you're playing? As much as he's improved in his career, still not the answer for the future. Should be an easy do not extend decision for DaCosta.
Yeah, I mean, he's always, and we've said it for years, he's always in position, but the guy always catches it. And it hadn't changed. Like the go route, he makes a hell of a play on that, but I don't know that he saw the ball. He just, you know, timed it perfectly where he threw his arms up in there.
And one more texter here says, can't say enough about that touchdown catch. Again, Brandon Stevens in coverage here. Scary Terry with the touchdown there. Game was destined to be a blowout had it not been for that. Just an unreal throw, unreal catch with a defensive back's arm in the mix.
I agree with all of it. Because if they didn't score there, Ravens more than likely are going to take it down the field and score again. Then it's then it becomes, what, 34-13 or
it's
whatever?
Over with.
Yeah.
Real quick, ball moving a little bit there? McLaurin?
On the touchdown? I'd have to watch it again, but I don't recall.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll have to watch it a little more. Oh, Vinny will be watching
the
film
tomorrow.
Well, we'll break it down Wednesday. But keep an eye. I think that ball might have been moving a little bit. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Monday Night Football. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, everybody, class dismissed.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.